First Sunday of Advent, Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought in these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to continue reading. I said I was going to stop there at 18, but I'm going to go on to 23. I lost my place now. But as he thought, thank you. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I lose track sometimes. I've got another eye infection, and the antibiotic sometimes gives me a blurred vision. So hopefully you'll give me a little latitude. Sometimes. Advent. What is Advent all about? Well, Advent, this candle that we have here, represents the prophecies that come upon Christ. The prophecy. Christ is a season of fulfillment. God spoke of Christ coming thousands of years ago through men, through women. They were looking for the coming of Christ. Now, they didn't call it Christmas back then. We call it Christmas. We just know that they were looking for a deliverer, according to Genesis 3:15, that God said, I will send a deliverer, and he shall crush the head of the serpent. The serpent shall bruise his heel. And so, with the prophecy come, we celebrated it differently than what they did back then, because they didn't celebrate Christmas like we do. It was years later that it became into the celebration that we have today. You see, we celebrate this fulfillment. Well, some of the prophecies that came was a guy by the name of Simeon. Now, Simeon was an older man. He waited, it says, for the consolation in Israel. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And then he said, Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And then he said, that which you prepared before the face of all the people. So Simeon was waiting. He knew the Old Testament prophecy of Genesis 3. He knew other Old Testament prophecies. And he was waiting for the coming. Whether he had something from God or not, I don't know. But he was waiting. You know, he just kept coming to the temple. Waiting. Did you ever do that? Did you ever go for something, you know, this is going to be it. Now, Vaughn said he didn't see any deer. A lot of guys go out and they look, you know, and didn't see any. And they keep going and keep going and keep going. And they don't see anything. You know, when you do something and you're waiting for something to happen, you're afraid about the time you do not persevere in it, that's when it's going to happen. Simeon was there all the time. And finally they came to have Jesus, the circumcision, the giving of his name and so on like that, officially giving his name. And Simeon was there and he said, now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But he was not the only one. There was a woman by the name of Anna. She was an aged woman. It says there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She was waiting as well, and she might have been there when Simeon was there. We don't know. We sort of get the idea that maybe she was or close at hand, and maybe she heard and saw. You know, it's like that when you're there and something happens and someone says, oh, look. You know, I do something once in a while, and it might be mean, but that's me. Sometimes I'll go on the street corner, and I'll touch something, and I'll just... Pretty soon you got other people coming along. I just wait for someone to say, what are you looking at? Perhaps she heard Simeon and she saw the baby and maybe she knew him from before. It says that she served the Lord in the temple and so she was there and she... This is the salvation of God. But you see, she wasn't the only one. Before that even happened, there were wise men. And I couldn't find a picture that had a real picture of the wise men because it shows just three wise men. We don't know there was just three wise men, you know. Now, there were probably more than three wise men. They went in caravans. But it says, they came and said, where is he, this born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. We are come to worship him. And so these are prophecies. These prophecies are points of light. Prophecies in the Bible are points of light out there for us to see where God is pointing the way for us. You know, the mariners out in the ocean, when they can't get a direction, you know, where they're at, and they will look for a North Star because they can get their bearing from that. To know which way they are going. You know, we have compasses today and so on like that. But you see, they were looking for something. You see, the points of light of prophecy that God gives us are there that we have hope for the future. And that's what he did for the people then. It was the hope of a coming deliverer, a hope of a coming Messiah, looking for him. And the people were looking for the Messiah. A lot of them missed it. Some of them got it. But you know what? There's a resurgence in Israel now today. They say, Messiah's coming soon. I don't know if they're reading scripture or something like that, but in Israel they're saying, we believe the Messiah is coming real soon. Well, I believe he's coming real soon too, but not in the way that they think. See, the prophecies are points of light, you see. The people are to be the bearers of God's light. But you have to understand there has to be a directionality about that light. Now, when you fellows went out in the woods yesterday, that went out, if you went out before it was completely daylight, you probably took a flashlight with you. And when you shone that flashlight, you were going along and you were shining the flashlight in front of you where you're walking. You weren't shining it way up there. You were shining it where you're walking so you wouldn't step on something, trip over something, poke yourself in the eye with a branch or something like that. But you see, what happened was directionality was something that the Pharisees missed. See, the directionality of light, they didn't see it. They were looking way out for the Messiah coming as a king, coming as a deliverer of Israel, but they didn't recognize that the light had to be right in front of them there, you see. See, light's only good if it's pointing in the proper direction. And you see, all lights point to Jesus. See, he's the deliverer of Genesis. He's the son coming out of Egypt. Hosea 1:1, he says, I will bring my son out of Egypt. Because of the killing of the babies, Joseph took Mary and Jesus down to Egypt. Then he came back, fulfilled the prophecy of Hosea 1:1, I called my son out of Egypt. Salvation for mankind. We come to see the Savior. He's the Savior of all man. God in the flesh of Isaiah. The Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you see, the Pharisees missed him because they had the lights pointing too far ahead of them. They weren't seeing the light, the point of light, the directionality of the prophecy that was pointing toward this babe in the manger. Even when the wise men came and they quoted the scripture, we seen his star. Where was it? Where is he born? In Bethlehem. And even at that, they didn't get it. They were looking for a king and a conqueror, and they missed God in the flesh as the Savior. You see, the light has to be focused on the object of the prophecy. It has to be in the right direction for that period. Now, for us today, there's light for us today. We got prophecy for us today. Here are some of the prophecy for us today that we need to be thinking about. Number one, there is coming a time of apostasy. And let me tell you, we're in that time of apostasy now. Churches are falling left and right, giving way to same-sex marriage, giving way to transgenderism, giving way to sex reassignment, giving way to abortion, giving way to all those things there. One by one, they are falling. And he says, let no man deceive you by any means, lest that day come upon us, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We have that today. But not only that, but there's another light that's pointing, and it says there are false Christs and false prophets today. Now, you don't remember, most of you don't remember, but I remember the billboard years ago, probably about 35, 40 years ago, maybe longer than that, there was a billboard up in some places around the United States. That billboard said, Christ is here. Over in England, they had it. Christ is here. Now you see, you don't see that too much anymore around. But you see the false prophets that are around. He says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They're going to deny the Lord, and they are doing that today, left and right. You don't have to come to Jesus to be saved. There are other ways to be saved. More than one way to heaven, they say. The false Christ, the false prophets that are there. But not only that, but you see, it says there are certain men that have crept in unawares. Where? Into the church. Who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You know, I got a text from a dear brother this morning, and I get a text from him every Sunday morning, a text of encouragement from him. And today, amazingly enough, the text came about grace. Grace. You see, grace, we're saved by grace through faith. But it says, they turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, lasciviousness is desires, your desires. So in other words, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness is that God saves you through grace, but you can do anything you want to do after you get saved. You can follow your desires all you want to. And they deny the only Lord that bought them. You see, being a Christian isn't just saying a little prayer. Down in Kentucky, we had a thing where during a revival service, someone come up and shake the preacher's hand. That meant you were saved. Now, as good as some preachers might be, that doesn't your salvation. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone, you see. And so, they deny Christ and they pervert the grace of God, saying you're saved. You know, Wednesday night we talked about discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called Cheap Grace. Cheap Grace. It's grace without repentance. It's grace without a changed life. If you are saved by the grace of God, your life will be changed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It might be changed a little. It might be changed a lot. But by the grace of God, your life will be changed. Well, then, not only that, but he says it's perilous times that we live in. Perilous times. He says evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This know also the last days, perilous times shall come. We're in those perilous times. Ask the widow of Charlie Kirk. Ask the remaining relatives of those National Guardsmen, the one that died. I don't know if the other one died yet or not. It was in critical condition. Just ask them. We don't live in perilous times. Evil men and seducers wax them worse and worse. Simply because you stand up for God and good and those things, they feel like you have to die. It's going to get worse. It's waxing worse and worse. And not only that, but see, there's coming a man of sin. It says, the dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. There's coming a man of sin. And you see, it's lights that are pointing for us to know what is coming in the world. You see, Satan gave him his power, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Doing some research here, I just saw a video. There's a country now. They've done away with your driver's license, your credit cards, your key swipe, and all that. Switzerland is already there. It showed. This guy went, taking this woman, a reporter, on a tour. She went up to this machine where sodas were. She grabbed the door. It wouldn't open. He said, this is what you do. And he put his hand on this little machine, opened the door. Got his soda out. Whatever he gets then is already put on his account. Whatever's there. It's already in Switzerland. You think it's not coming here? It's already. It's ready. They call it IoT. Internet of Things. Internet of Things. Also saw a video. Had this baby on there. Looks, that's a cute little baby, but it wasn't the baby. Is robotic. And they held a picture of an apple up there and it said, Apple. And a picture of something else up there and it said what it was. The AI, artificial intelligence that's coming around. The Antichrist is coming and God is warning us ahead of time that it is coming and it's coming faster than what we think is coming. And you see, this candle represents the prophecies of Christ coming. But you see, this was we celebrate the Advent, Him coming the first time. But you see, these are points of light talking about Him coming the next time. You see, it says in Revelation that And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had the name written that no man could know but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. With it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath a name, he hath on his vesture a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, the prophecy's pointing toward Jesus Christ coming, you see. He is coming again one day. There's coming a judgment then too. Revelation 20, 11 to 12. And I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You see, God is coming. And you see, the light that God sends to us today points back to Calvary. It points back to Calvary because Calvary is where we get saved. But what we celebrate today, the Advent, is coming. Jesus came as a babe in the manger. And that light points back to Calvary. See, all the prophecies before that came, and Jesus fulfilled them in coming in his birth. But now there are many other prophecies yet to be fulfilled of his coming again. But you see, that light of Christ in the manger points to the cross. And that's what it's all about. You see, salvation came to us. That prophecy, there is a Savior born today. His name is Jesus Christ, and he came to save us. That little babe in the manger, he came to save us from our sin. He came to save us from the penalty of sin. He came to save us from the power of sin as well. And so, this Christmas time is a time to celebrate. I enjoy all the decorations. I appreciate the decorations that they all do, and I love to see the decorations all around this time of year. But it needs to be a reminder that all of us need to come to that Savior, that little babe in the manger, grew up, died on the cross, rose again, so he can be our Savior. We recognize the prophecy on him coming the first time. Now, here are the prophecies coming the second time. He's coming once again. We need to be ready for when he comes. That's why he came the first time, so we can be ready when he comes again.